This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, listeners. You've got Ryan.
I'm Jack.
A little bit of a sore throat, Cookie.
So tonight, Cookie will be replaced by the actor Biscuit.
Hello, I'm Biscuit.
For some reason, he has a southern accent. I don't understand why.
I don't know either. It's just funny. I'm an expatriate from America, yet I've never lived there. I've lived here all my life, so go figure.
Sure you are. Okay, according to listener feedback, I am Jack, and apparently I'm too book smartish for my own good.
And apparently I'm Ryan, and I talk about myself too much. Well, I don't care. My name is Ryan. I have to sort of say that to introduce myself, that my name is Ryan. If that's selfish, then so be it.
And not to exclude that we actually have another guest in the room tonight, all the way from Vic Bears in... Oh, we are in Melbourne.
All the way from the other side of Melbourne.
Yeah, that.
But we can't let him speak yet. He's got to take the pledge.
Oh, yeah. Anybody got some bear paraphernalia around here?
Let's use that calendar. Bring over the calendar.
Would it be a bear calendar of 2009?
All right. Today, our guest Russell will be swearing his devotion on the Bearmen 2009 wall calendar. So put your hand on the calendar and repeat after me.
After me.
After me.
After me.
I, Russell. Do solemnly swear on the Bearmen 2009 wall calendar.
Do solemnly swear on the Bearmen 2009 wall calendar.
That I will maintain the integrity.
That I will maintain the integrity.
Or lack of.
Or lack thereof.
Of the Cubby House podcast.
Of the Cubby House podcast.
I swear my tummy will be full.
I swear my tummy will be full.
My play will be adventurous.
My play will be adventurous.
And I will have an attitude that is opening and welcoming.
And I'll have an attitude that's opening and welcoming.
I promise not to make any obnoxious double entendres.
Oh? I promise not to make any obnoxious double entendres.
Or any awful Family Guy or Simpsons references.
Or any awful Family Guy or Simpsons references.
If I should fail to agree to these terms...
If I should fail to agree to these terms...
I will be flagged and punished accordingly.
Oh, I'll be flagged and punished accordingly.
Excellent. We've got another member in the Cubby House family. Now let's start the hazing. Now, where'd you put that Caddo Nine Tails?
That's in the other room.
Oh, we'll have to spank him hard later.
Along with the sling and the handcuffs. And
unfortunately,
the
we
rope.
Do not have video footage of the hazing, ladies and gentlemen.
Not
quite
yet.
A good thing, I'm sure.
This is Russell. He is the secretary of Vic Bears.
And he's also Russell.
Yeah, that too, but... We love you as a secretary, too.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
I'm sure you can balance a lot of figures.
Oh, I'm not a treasurer.
What about males?
Males? Oh, that's a much different thing.
Excellent.
Males with tails. Very good.
We love that.
So, Russell, share with us your story. How did you get involved with Bears originally?
Bears? Well, I'm very old, you see, so I've been around for a long time. Don't remember those young days when all of us boys used to try and be hairless and skinny and clone-like. And then when you realise you're fighting a losing battle, and when your father turns around one day and says to you that he's worked you out, he knows what you like fat men. Well, I don't think they're quite fat men, but they're just chunky in my mind, but they're real men, they're blokes. And I suppose when you realise that there are other people out there who are not trying to get every bit of body hair off them and not trying to starve themselves to death, it was a different thing back. How old am I?
36.
37. But yeah, back 10 years ago when it was sort of coming to the fore, I suppose, there was a lot more recognition of what a bear was. You got to find, you had a second coming out in effect. You got to meet up with people who were, you know, might have been gay blokes like yourself, but they weren't twinks.
So describe that second coming out.
That second coming out, I think it happened in my friend's shower. She, so it's not that sorted, you can't get that excited. She had a place, we were all students at the time, and I went and had a shower, and We were heading out on the town that night, and yeah, I just remember getting out of the shower and looking at myself in the mirror thinking, God, you're a big, hairy, fat man. Well, I think I was being a bit hard on myself. I'm certainly bigger now. But
I'm a bit hard on myself right now.
I was...
That's a different kind of hard, I think.
I think that was flaggable.
I think that was flaggable too. Double entendre.
Double entendre. Well, I tried not to. Yeah, but I think that's the first time I just felt quite happy about it and thought, bugger it, I'm fine with that. If anyone else isn't, that's their problem.
Mom, Dad, I'm a bear. What? What?
Well,
growl.
Yeah, you know, my dad worked it out for me, as I already told you.
So, how'd you actually start meeting other people that were like yourself?
Oh, I'd met them already, I think. I always had a fondness for men who were blokes anyway. And I think that's why, you know, Dad was able to notice before I was what, you know, I was really all about.
Having said all that, how'd you get involved with Vic Bears?
I was involved with Bears when I was over in Perth because I came to Melbourne 2.5 years ago with my other half, Mark. We moved over here after leaving Bears Perth, I suppose, and all of our mates over there. Part of the reason we came here was we liked what we'd seen in Melbourne many times beforehand, so we dived straight in.
Well, thank you very much.
It's great to have you here in Melbourne.
Oh, you're too kind.
How long did it take before you became the secretary?
You know, when the call went out, you know, you've got to rally to the cause. That was a while later. That wasn't, you know, straight off the boat and into the typewriting.
Is that a policy of Vic Bears that you have to be a member first before you become part of the committee management?
Well, you have to be a member to be on the committee.
Mm-hmm. But how does one actually become a member of the committee?
At the AGM.
What's that?
So at the annual general meeting, there's an election for all positions every year. And you can put your hand
positions,
up. Positions, eh? Positions, yes. Mm. You put your hand up and you
put
can
your
get
hand
elected.
Up for positions.
Well, you can put your hand up and you can try different positions. But at the end of the day, you know.
He's getting rather excited here. This thing's going to get a workout, I think.
I'm just trying to work out whether you're talking about the Karma Sutra or actual positions.
A little
in...
from column A and a little from column B, really.
Oh, a cookie has returned to the studio.
Yes. You'll notice...
Where's Biscuit?
Yeah.
He died.
You are.
He's burnt.
Funnily enough, Cookie and Biscuit mean similar context, so you'll probably find I'll
context.
I'll
that's his that's his special word for the day. I'm going to call him out whenever he says it.
If we had a swear jar for Cookie, today's word would be context, and I think we'd be up about $50 by now. So
right.
Every time you say the word context, ba-bow. Flag.
Shall we say it's quite relatable in the thesaurus.
So what's the difference between the scene in Perth and that in Melbourne?
The scene in Perth, I was a bit smaller, obviously. Part of the joy of coming to a place like Melbourne is you've got choice in what you do and where you go and, you know, basically who you hang out with, I suppose. But if you want to go to a gay outing in Perth, everyone's thrown in together in the one place or two. So, you know, it has to be a bit more tolerant, I suppose, over there because of its size and because of the fact that everyone's thrown in together. Whereas here, I suppose you can get little tribes forming, people becoming a bit more cliquey. But having said that, there's a lot more people here.
Is that such a good thing, though, that you have to kind of segregate different groups into cliques and tribes?
No, it's not a good thing that you have to separate different groups. It's nice that you can retreat to different groups if you want to, mm-hmm. but it's bad when walls start popping up between them.
We would like to hear some listener responses about people's experiences with clickiness and tribes. Details at the end of the podcast and on the website.
So what do members actually expect to receive when joining Vic Bears, if they plan on joining Vic Bears?
Well, I don't know what they expect, but what they can get are a card that says that they're a member. They get copies of newsletters either emailed out to them or mailed out to them, depending on what their preference is. But more importantly, they get discounts on a range of events and at other places, and they get discounted prices when they go to things like Southern Hibernation or other big bear events and festivals around the country. There's reciprocal arrangements, I suppose, to put it that way, with other bear clubs in other states, and they get, a range of discounts.
We've been talking about Southern Hibernation because Jack entered this year.
He did.
As far as actually being an applicant to Southern Hibernation, do you have to be a member of Vic Bears or can anybody rock up and apply?
Anybody can become an entrant in the Mr. Australasia Bear Competition.
Excellent.
Well, not anybody. I don't suppose Mum would qualify, but yeah. You don't actually have to be a member. We have people. I mean, it's Mr. Australasia Bear, so there's people from New Zealand. And, you know, they might be members of a bear society where they come from. Same interstate. You obviously get discounts to the overall pass if you're buying it, if you're a member. But if you're going to enter as a contestant, well, then it doesn't really apply that way.
Excellent. The three of us are all set anyway.
Oh, really?
Yes, I think there was a challenge between the three of us to see who would actually, first of all, enter next year, and then if any of us would actually become any of the winners of the given awards.
It'll divide us. We'll become snappy, and then we'll resent the person that won.
Well, I can pretty much guarantee, okay, you have won Mr. Cub, Jack.
What?
You have won Mr. Cub. Out of the three of us, you are Mr. Cub.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're Mr. Grizzly, Cookie, because you have more hair than I do. And I'm Mr. Daddy because I'm the oldest one here. So go team.
A for that.
There we go. We don't have to win till we've won.
Yeah, you're all winners in your own special ways.
Excellent, excellent.
We don't even have to pay up the money now, do we?
Yeah.
Mm, scary.
So what is the Vic Bear's definition of a bear?
Well, the Vic Bear's definition of a bear is a down-to-earth, you know, bloke who doesn't have any attitude, who's relaxed and comfortable with his own self. There's no sort of in the Vic Bear's definition of a bear, it's not about body type or body hair.
And is that the reality?
Oh, it is. If people feel that they are a bear, I suppose they are. It's more of, you know, relating to a set of principles, I suppose, rather than just being like a standard body shape. I mean, you might get people who say, oh, well, all bears look the same. What is with all you blokes with beards? But, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, certainly you'll see what might be called a cub. Many of those have very little hair at all. Some guys who would call themselves bears and you might call bears don't have much hair at all. And you can get all shapes and sizes, otters, cubs, wolves, silverbacks, anything.
It kind of reminds me of how I've listened to people kind of flick over the scene pages in the MCV and how you'd have twink, twink, hairless, hairless, and then you've got all the beards on the one panel and then it's pretty much the same for the rest. It's like they all congregate in the one panel.
But is that due to Vic Bears or is that due to the media actually trying to constrain the bears into a particular category of being based on body type rather than attitude?
Or is that purely because twinks just don't go to the Laird?
Oh, I don't know. I've seen a few at the Laird. And you certainly see bears all over town as well. Mm. There's, you know, bears famously seen up and down Commercial Road. I mean, just because you might look a certain way or even identify in a certain way doesn't mean that you are therefore restricted to your little cliquey group, as we said earlier. You can still go out and party with your twink mates and go out with your lesbian entourage. You might not go to the same places all the time, but as I said earlier, at least they're available to you should you want to.
So what else is Russell involved in?
Well, he can talk about Underbear Party as well. He was there, and might I said he did a rather good job at being the door bitch.
Well, I had to keep you guys, you know, true to form.
Okay, I had a wonderful time at the Underbear Party, but Ryan here...
The Ryan here that doesn't apparently wear underwear.
Well, he got a good view from the outside of the Underbear
Party. I actually had
a
really good time at Underbear, considering I was the only bloke there fully clothed. And Russell was incredibly sweet. He kept me company and chatted to me away while hot porn was playing in the background. And men kept on coming outside wearing nothing but jock strap smoking. So,
now,
yeah, I had a good night.
Where was it? Because depending on where it was, it might look a little funny.
It was at the Laird Hotel.
Right, so was
Conflict.
Russell outside in his underwear too?
In the beer garden.
Okay, so inside but out the back.
Correct.
Outside but out the back.
Outside but not on the street.
This accent is so not growing on me.
I know, but it's the best I can do with a throat infection.
We welcome any feedback from any Americans who want to bag the crap out of Cookie.
By all means, you can...
Oh, biscuit, sorry.
Yeah, biscuit, thank you.
You can dip him in your gravy.
You're just pandering to our overseas audiences.
Yeah, that too.
So, Russell, what did you make of the Underbear Party?
Oh, well, it's always good to see lots of bears in their underbear, isn't it?
In their underbear.
Yeah. One particular bear there didn't have any underwear to bear.
Well,
so we
didn't
see him bear at all.
Sorry, unfortunately, listeners, I do not happen to wear underwear, so hence I was not at Underbear.
Grr.
Although I was told that I could wear a plastic bag, but, you know...
And L plates. You could have worn the L plates
well,
as well.
Well, the L plates were a little bit more, you know, inviting or, you know... I would have worn those preferably over a plastic bag.
But hang on, wouldn't he have had to wear P plates? I think it's a little bit beyond the
well,
L
I'm
plates.
On a full license, so technically, even still, the L plates wouldn't have worked. I still would have had to have gone nude.
We're not complaining. But then again, if you didn't get your hairstylist down there, we'll... Sorry, we can't help that.
One of the things that's rather interesting about an underbear party is the fact that everyone's naked, sort of, is a great equalizer.
Naked, sort of. In their underwear.
Naked sort of in their underwear.
It's a great leveler, isn't it?
It's a great leveler.
It saves you sort of wasting time trying to undress people with your eyes as well.
Oh.
The hard yakka's already done for you.
To me, that'd just look like a bloody meat rack. You just go past
it. Oh, it was.
See what looks the better or the worse, and you just, I suppose it can
It was
be.
Kind of like looking at Christmas presents, you know, a couple of days before Christmas. You sort of already know what's there, so you don't have to waste time
trying
to chat them up and stuff.
The problem I have with that is the fact that the presents have got emotions too, and if you just walk past without a glance of, hey, I like you, why don't you like me? Then there's a bit of tension there, isn't there?
Well, they probably don't like you because of your craptacular southern accent.
Shut up. You can blame the virus in my throat for the accent.
Dude, I'm southern and I don't speak like that.
I don't care. See how you sound with a bloody throat infection.
I did. I came in all sick and stuff, remember?
And yet you sound all right.
That's just me. My dulcet tones.
And exactly. This throat infection was also from underbear as well?
What was underbear?
Where you got your infection from?
No.
No.
His throat one anyway.
No.
No, that's why I'm just enjoying your story, because I was unfortunately working, letting stupid people out of lifts.
And you got sick.
I know.
Mm.
So do I blame the stupid people who got stuck in lifts, or do I blame the people at the underbear party who I never even met before?
Oh, I'm sure you've met a few of them.
I'm sure I have. I was just never there to prove who was there and who wasn't.
And you'll never see the photos.
And there will never be photos.
No.
Excellent.
It'll just live on in your memory forever.
And with the power of imagination, I can make it as wonderful as I like.
Completely different event.
Please.
Completely different event.
Please don't share with us tonight.
The hidden talents of Russell.
So the Bears in the City last week had their Mr. Grizzly 2008. Andrew, we've got our own Mr. Grizzly, isn't it?
Mr. Grizzly?
Did you get that title?
No.
No?
No.
I thought you did.
No, 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 I wasn't Mr. Grizzly.
Then what were you?
I wasn't Mr. Cub.
Then what were you?
I got Mr. Southern Hibernation Bear last year.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah, it's very exciting. I've still got the trophy. It's very special.
What was in your mind when you applied for it?
I thought it'd be fun. Why shouldn't you get up there and just enjoy it and sort of meet a few people and go through the experience? At the end of the day, sort of whether you get anything out of it as a prize doesn't really matter in my mind. It's sort of just going through it. I mean, as you would well know, it's a bit of a blast, isn't it? You know, going through it and popping out the other end and thinking, wow, you've proven something to yourself.
Yeah, but it wasn't the thing that I wanted to prove.
Oh, I saw your fantasy scene.
I wanted to prove that I was the hottest new kid on the block. And everyone would just look at me and their jaws would drop. And then they would have no choice but to give me a trophy. But apparently that was a bit misguided and vain. And
well, sorry, was that the ego of Ryan you just pinched there?
Get fucked. I don't have an ego that big.
So now,
not an ego anyway.
Now I'm a bit jaded and deflated.
So is that why you're asking Russell how to win? You're taking notes here or...?
Yeah, but it might mean I have to wait for about another 18 years.
18? That's a long time. It's not a popularity contest, though. You're not going to sit there and wow the crowd and then they're going to vote you in. You know, I mean, as you know, it's a bit different than that.
And by just saying that, I think I've ruined my chances for next year, haven't I?
We can edit out all this.
Who knows?
So what was your three segments of the competition?
What did I do? For the first one, I came out in a pair of footy shorts, I think it was, and a t-shirt. You know, it was bare casual. It was nothing too special. Came out and they interviewed you and it was all over too quick. Second one, bare minimum. Oh, yes, I came out in a jockstrap. I think that's right. I think a few people noticed a few more things than I thought they were going to. But anyway, that's history. And the third one was the fantasy scene. I was a thug and I got put in my place by a rather smart-looking cop.
What was the name of that cop?
Mark, my other half. Dressed up as a New York policeman and, yeah, did a sterling job. And I think he sort of helped me along with my chances very well. Certainly afterwards, people looked at him in a rather different light.
Quite interesting because Andrew's particular scene was also, who was the guy who won this year, got a lot of rap in a good light because he actually used his own partner as part of his fantasy. Do you think that shows, instead of it just being a purely sexual-driven fantasy, it actually gives you like bonus points actually involving a partner that's not sexually driven.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, of course, because I've only been on one side and I don't know what the judges are thinking and I don't know what their criteria are or anything like that.
In this context, put yourself in their place. Would you think it'd be bonus point worthy?
Well, if the partner was interesting to look at and got into the scene as well, that would, couldn't be a bad thing, could it? But then again, you're not judging the partner, you're judging the other one. So does it help that you've got your partner there? Does that, you know, make everybody feel warm and fuzzy inside and sort of go, oh, isn't that sweet? Let's give bonus points to him. Who knows?
What does the trophy look like?
First of all, let's ask, is it dildo worthy?
I think it would hurt. It's got some sharp corners on it. I don't know whether the ones that were awarded this year were the same, but I imagine they probably were. They're highly sought after, and I think Lady Susan Renouf has got one hidden away on her mantelpiece somewhere that'll pop up one day. One day.
One day.
One day.
Grampians went on sale starting last week, I think it was. So tell me, what is Grampians?
Grampians is a mountain range out in the western part of the state over near Ararat and Hamilton and Halls Gap and all those sorts of places. Yeah, it's a lovely picturesque part of the country and it is very touristy at times. And it has a wonderful campsite there where the bears retreat on the weekend before Melbourne Cup Tuesday every year. And they bunk down on Friday night, and if they haven't escaped on Sunday, they escape on Monday. And it's just, yeah, a very relaxed weekend in sort of dorm-style cabins, accommodation, and an endless supply of food.
Well, that's pretty much sold it for any bear or cub, I think.
So much food, you wouldn't believe it.
Bears and food. That's pretty much all you need.
Bears, food, and it's very relaxed. You can pretty much do what you want. There's no sort of set program for the thing. People do organise amongst themselves to do whatever they want to do. There's wineries, there's, you know, world's biggest burger eating competitions, there's all sorts of other things. But otherwise, you can sit in a corner and read a book and drink a bottle of wine every day if you want to. Some people do. There's a pool.
How many times have you gone?
Two or three. I can't recall.
Well, you should. If it's only two or three.
Yeah, I'm trying to do the maths. I think it might be two. But yes, I'll be there again this year.
That's reason enough to go.
Well, if it's a selling point, there you go. But no, it really is what you make of it. And you can sort of do as much of anything you want to or as little. If you just, as I said, just want to chill for 2 days, sit behind a campfire on Sunday night and maybe play a trivia night on Saturday night, I think it is. But otherwise, you can be left to your own devices or you can go exploring. Climb the mountains if you're up to it.
So what are the chances of there being naked hot tub action this time around?
Sorry, is that exploring in the hot tub now, are we?
This is obviously what you're interested in.
I'm saying nothing.
No, you're just steaming away.
It's for the interest of the listener.
Oh, of course.
Of course. Hot tub, I don't know that there'll be a hot tub there to steam away in. So if you choose to run around naked anyway, well, that's up to you. But there's water restrictions at the moment, so it's very difficult to organise spas and hot tubs and the like. But there is a pool.
Will the pool at least be filled?
Well, until the bears jump in.
Swish.
Water displacement everywhere. Lovely. Is there gardens next to it? Water the gardens while we're at it.
And the kangaroos can hop by and put on a show for you.
Do you have any interesting stories from the previous Grampians?
Some that I could share, maybe. Yeah, constantly being stuffed full of food by the lovely owners who manage the place and run the place and are constantly catering to bear-sized appetites. You have breakfast in the morning, then you've got morning tea, lunch, afternoon tea, dinner, and then, of course, no bear retreat would be complete without bags of chips, chocolates and lollies to eat in between those very frequent meals anyway. Yes, it's very nice to get out and explore the countryside. Last year, there was a constant layer of cloud over the, I forget the name of it, but the big mountain that's viewable from the mess hall where you sit and dine and eat all your meals. But getting out in the countryside, you can go four-wheel driving, you can go for a trip up to Halls Gap. Done all that in the years we've been up there. But some tasteful art you can buy up in Halls Gap from some of the nice touristy stores. It's all very nice.
In comparison to, say, Daylesford, when they do the chill out, is there so much of a gay culture in Halls Gap as there is in Daylesford in comparison?
Look, there is when the bears get there.
Well, there is, yes. They are brought in from out of town and they sort of all assemble and the children all point and go, oh, look at all those men over there with beards. What's all this about? And you just, the rugby team going on the end of season wrap-up tour, so that's fine. But I don't know that there is any other time. Maybe there's a couple of locals there who disagree and tell me about the fantastic dinner parties they hold every third weekend, but I don't know them.
Not everybody is infallible in this podcast. Even Ryan learned his lesson not to bring up a topic of very deep value.
This was just something that I thought maybe it's nothing to do with myself. I don't know if it's to do with you guys, but there seems to be a fucking huge growing thing on War of Worldcraft or whatever the shit house game is.
World of Warcraft.
Whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, I know it is.
There seems to be a lot of bears and cubs playing this game.
I'm so fucking over World of Warcraft. It is not funny. It is that much of a life killer. It's insane.
I don't know. I just thought maybe we could mention if you're interested in playing, you can go on these sites or something. I don't know. I mainly look after the community, not after our actual needs of meeting bears and cubs.
No, I actually look at World of Warcraft as being a health issue.
Well, we can move on to that, talking about depression.
Oh, yeah. Look, like, it is honestly, it's an addiction. And when people get addicted to
it's like most computer games, like Sims. I was addicted to Sims when it first came out.
With Sims, you can stop, you can save it, and you can walk away whenever you have to. With World of Warcraft, you have to wait for about 50 people to join your group to go and do a quest.
Is this like this Elven Blood we were having a discussion about last night? Is it similar to that?
Worse.
Okay.
It's, yeah, you need the people, but you need the people.
Shit, this game.
Need the people and the time to go and do a 50-hour quest.
Dear me.
It is like people plan their lives around this game rather than away from this game.
Because I watch reality TV. Mm. I must be quite fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, you are.
Thanks. But
I only know this because my brother actually went through this same problem when he was with his ex, now ex. He would literally sit there. He would not sleep. He would sit online for days on end playing this game, and it was just a matter of, he was waiting for people to go and do a particular quest to get the chance to get so many bits of armor to finish the set. And World of Warcraft is just one of those games that if it wasn't something you took like ecstasy or marijuana, I would put it on the same context because it actually...
Context.
Are you saying that we should possibly have like a quit smoking helpline? We should have like a World on Warcraft helpline or something?
Oh, I'd love to have one set up. I'm sure there already is one, but I'm just an evangelist against World of Warcraft.
Awesome.
It's a
former addict.
No.
No, a recovering alcoholic.
No.
No, just seen what it's done to somebody else.
Yes, I've seen what it's done to my brother, and admittedly, he lost a bad relationship, thankfully. But
so it can have good effects.
Well, yeah.
Every cloud has its silver lining.
Mm. But it took him a year to realize that it wasn't doing him any good, and he was paying money. This is another thing. You have to pay money to play the game, of which you're wasting time on and your life on, sitting in front of a computer playing a fantasy game.
If I may interject, I am a reformed World of Warcrafter.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, my name is Jack, and I used to play World of Warcraft.
Just take it one day at a time, young man.
Baby steps.
Yeah, I kind of finished World of Warcraft just before I began
your new addiction.
Can you finish the game?
The game never ends.
That's exactly
there is always
my point.
One more quest to do.
And then they throw in expansions on top of that.
They throw in the expansions. But it's also the same thing with The Sims, is that there's always one more thing to do, which is what keeps you going and going. But the thing is that I was spending hours and days and pretty much it all was to do with World of Warcraft. And my dad would come along at about 2 in the afternoon and say, oh, what are you playing? World of Warcraft. Come back at 8 o'clock at night and say, aren't you hungry? No, World of Warcraft. Back at 2 a.m. Oh, how come you're still up? World of Warcraft. 4 a.m. He's going to the toilet. What are you playing? World of Warcraft. Bloody hell, go to sleep. Slap.
So, well, and probably needed that too.
So you literally were not eating, going to the toilet or anything. You were just locked in front of that computer like a zombie for days on end, yes?
I wouldn't go as far as to say that, but it did inhibit my activities quite a bit. As in, I was revolving my other activities around the game. But seeing that on MMOs, it takes so long to do things, and because the fact that it takes so long for anything to happen and the fact that it's so repetitive. Mm. It takes up a lot of time.
Sounds boring rather than addictive to me.
I think it's partly the whole excitement of role play.
Well, there are other avenues for that.
Yeah, I was going to say. Go to Club 80.
But I remember at one point my ex-boyfriend was staying around and I was completing a quest. I was like, one more quest. Well, you finished that one, but I started another one. I want to finish this one.
That sounds like me with one more beer. Can we go? No, just one more beer. But no.
But actually,
much more enjoyable that.
I actually think that not World of Warcraft, but video game addiction has been included in the new scientific diagnostic statistics manual number 5 as a mental disorder, along with maths disease. You can go to a psychologist to be diagnosed as bad at maths.
Oh, that's a disease now, is it? Rather than just not doing your homework.
I'm sorry, but when I played blackjack at, you know, Vegas, and I had to count my numbers, you know, on my fingers, that's because I was making sure, because I'm putting money towards what I'm gambling.
You don't have problems, except for maths disease.
Well, whoever diagnosed this, fuck you.
Now, with video game addiction, that's all fine and dandy. The biggest problem with World of Warcraft...
Get off the soapbox.
Is you have to rely on other people. It's an online community.
So that sounds good.
And that's why it's the problem. It's a lot of games you can go, you can save, you can come back to it on another stage.
So this is why you see on Bear411, for example, you see profiles where I'm a huge WoW gamer and I'm looking for other friends. Is it purely just because of that?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Exactly my point. What? That's the game.
Ha 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 ha, boom. Yes. My God, that was lame.
But no, it runs a lot of people's lives when you're addicted to that particular game. Admittedly, it is one of the best storylines for a game I've ever seen, and that's half its selling point. But almost any other game I've ever seen has a beginning, middle, and end, and you can save it at almost given points throughout the game. World of Warcraft has no beginning. Well, it has a beginning, but it has no end.
But I suppose that the thing with World of Warcraft, because it is a community, is that encourage your friends to start playing. So you hand out your free trials to everyone, and they can play for 2 weeks for free, and they get a taste, and they can join in until you've got all your friends around, and you can pretty much hook your computers together and play. But I suppose that it's just an element of just Web 2.0 culture that it's like... I believe that this kind of video gaming is like one step down from what we'll see, or what's been prophesized as being...
Well, the second coming, hurrah!
as being a virtual reality, how people are living dual lives online and offline, which we're already seeing, especially with the integration of technologies into everyday life.
So what's, as a former WoW fanatic...
Junkie.
You've seen the light.
What was...
Hallelujah.
What were some of the effects that were... Obviously, okay, you weren't eating or drinking or going to the toilet at appropriate times. That were outside...
And getting off on it.
That were outside of the gameplay. What other mental kind of side effects did you start noticing? Did you snap at people a lot quicker or what?
I don't think I had any... problems like shut up.
You
only got to see your dad anyway, didn't you? He just pop his head in every now and then and go.
No, I didn't. I didn't have anything like that. If anything, I was probably just a bit tired because I was actually spending that time away from World of Warcraft. Cause I had to go to school, see people, and that there was that other element, which is something that a lot of other people don't have.
How much was it costing you?
It was about $15 a month.
Okay, but when you got lots of friends on there doing the same thing, there's money in it for someone.
It wasn't my money. It was Daddy's credit card. So,
Sugar Daddy.
Not anymore.
No, just Daddy.
Oh, okay, for short.
The reason I asked that is my brother, in particular, he went through a bit of a depression and he got very snappy. And not that he is anyway, but he was becoming very, you know, recluse and very antisocial, more so than he ever normally was. And it just amazes me because, amongst other things, gay men go through, you know, depression and just them not coming out or coming out and having problems at work and family and whatnot. And it's just, why would you put yourself through another layer of mental anxiety just because you're online and you're basically living your life off a computer There are other things to go and do to entertain your life.
But, I mean, that could sort of be similarly put towards people that are constantly on chat sites, constantly on pornographic sites. You know, I mean, these people are just possibly they're lonely. They just feel that they belong, perhaps. I mean, I know we didn't want to talk about Family Guy and all that, but there was an episode of American Dad, sorry if I get flagged for this, where the geek son, Steven, like, they kept on asking, why do you play these craptacular games? And he said, well, in high school, I get picked on, but in these games, I feel like 10 feet tall. Do you think that maybe having something to do with it, or do you think it's just mindless shit?
Good point.
I'm going to lock in B for that answer. That smug smile and that, look.
I'm not going to say that it is mindless shit in that context. People do need a point of escapism, and before computers, there was books. And before books, there was storytelling, and you could retell your own yourself in that particular story. There is definitely a need for it, but the whole angst I had against World of Warcraft, amongst everything else, was it became your life rather than you let it rule a fantasy. The fantasy ruled you, and that's video games in general. I've got no problem with. I love my video games, but I know there is a point where you have to pause, save. Get up, go to the toilet, have dinner, whatever it is you need to do, and go to bed. I don't let it rule my waking life in, I have to go back to that quest, I have to do this. It's a part of my life, but it is not my life. And that's where a lot of people on World of Warcraft are, in my opinion, having a lot of trouble with because of the extreme point of addiction. And you could say that, I'll relate it back to drugs again. You could say that with alcoholics. They have no way out except to have a drink, it all relaxes. Everything's fine after I've had a drink. Smoking, same thing. People get stressed. I need to relax. I'll have a cigarette. There are points of
not looking at anyone in particular while you say that.
You ask the question. I'm not answering.
Sorry, God. I need to relax. I hide in a sling.
not looking at anyone.
Not at all.
No.
So should we take it upon ourselves that if any listeners out there have friends that are WOW gamers, that we should take it upon ourselves to do an intervention and we can go around to their houses and say...
We can play Dungeons and Dragons with them. Well, tell them to get off the World of Warcraft and start meeting some real people with Dungeons and Dragons.
We've got to be careful that these aren't just recreational users. They could be fine and managing, you know, their use of WoW quite well.
Mm.
Be careful that everybody doesn't get pulled off it, because what's a little fun now and then, that's not too bad, is it?
Well, true.
I think we're missing the issue here. Are there any hot bears in the game?
Good question.
Not unless yourself, you consider yourself a Tauren.
No, actually...
Well, I'm a Taurian. Does that count?
No, a Tauren.
Oh, damn.
Which is actually the physical... the
anthropomorphic?
Anthropomorphic version of a Minotaur.
Oh, there you go.
But if you play as a druid, you can actually transform into animals. And one of the animals you can play as is a bear.
Really?
So he takes on a tank attribute with like plus 150 defense. So you can just hack at a bear and
And that's where we stop you. Because
I am so sorry that I brought this topic up. Never again will I do this. Druid I will flag myself for bringing up this fucking topic.
Druid was my class.
Another question that
A Tauren druid was my
class. All right, Jack, all right.
Paging new subject, paging new subject.
Needs to go to another meeting.
You can have just yourself. Have your Blinky Bill music and the WoW thing.
Today's episode was brought to you by the word context.
Shut up.
It's funny because it's true.
Shut up.
Well, we want to thank Russell for being with us tonight. Thank you so much for your wonderful
Thank you for having me here at the Clubby Line and the Chubby House and the Clubby Whatsevers and
wait,
I don't know.
Russell, what show are you on?
Context.
All of them.
That's about right.
Mm. We're going to be having our own channel on Foxtel soon coming out. Context House, perhaps.
Yeah, would you like a room in Alcatraz for five minutes just to get rid of all the crazy things we've been talking about?
Well, 5 minutes won't be long enough.
You can find information about Russell on the website. That's www.thecubbyhouse.net.au.
You can also find out all the events of everything that's been happening with Vic Bears on the Vic Bears website, which is...
vicbears.org.au.
Awesome.
Sexy.
Mm. Very.
So until the next episode, I am Jack.
I am Ryan.
I'm Cookie. And Biscuit.
Oh, thanks for Biscuit for popping in by too.
Where did
thanks,
he go?
Boys.
And as the earth goes, how the hell does it go again? Oh, I think it goes something along the lines of...
Around.
Keep your tummy
around shit.
Keep your tummy full, keep your play adventurous, and keep your heart welcoming and open. The end.
Catch you next week.
Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.